by them because it's an honor to be in Brother Ross's presence. I'm thankful for him and to him for the love he has for the Lord, for the church, and for the truth. I'm also thankful to be here with my daughter and son-in-law and get to spend the night with them, so I'm thankful for that. But I'm also thankful that Brother Popejoy is here. Him and I spend a lot of time together, every morning almost, talking about the Word of God, talking about truth, helping one another to be transparent, helping one another not to be hypocritical. As a matter of fact, we have an oath with one another. I know he doesn't mind me saying it, is that we always keep one another accountable. What a great theme. Speaking the truth in love. Ephesians 4 and verse 15. When we consider that great passage, there the Apostle Paul says something very powerful. He says, first, speaking. That's the method. That should be our method, that if we're going to speak the Word of God, we need to make sure that we speak what thus saith the Lord. Number two, we need to speak the truth. That's the message. We don't speak nothing else. And the reason why is because of the God who sent forth the truth. Number three, in love, that's the manner. So we speak the truth in love. We have the method, the message, and the manner. But when we consider truth, I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:8, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. We know for a fact that it is truth that's going to judge us in the last day, John 12:48-50. Friends, without the truth, all of us, mankind, would be lost. And this is why when we consider hypocrisy, there are five reasons that I brought forth, that I'm bringing forth, that a man or a woman should not be a hypocrite. And we're going to see why the Pharisees and the scribes were hypocrites. Because they violate all of these things that I'm about to tell you. Number one, we know that God is truth. Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 and 6. And the very fact that God is truth, He was the one that sent forth His Son. Jesus said on one occasion that He is the way, the truth, John 14, verse 6. Paul would say by inspiration in Ephesians 4 and verse number 21, the truth is in Jesus. Jesus would come to declare the Father because the Father Himself is truth. But they would send the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting that Jesus would tell His disciples that He's going to send them a comforter. John 16 and verse number 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He'll guide you into all the truth. 1 John 5 and verse number 6, there the Bible literally calls the Spirit the truth. But then the Word of God. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Here it is, friends. Thy word is truth. And all of those give rise to the church. Friends, if there's no God, if there's no Jesus, if there's no Spirit, if there's no Word, there is no church. No wonder the Apostle Paul would say in 1 Timothy 3 and verse number 15, if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to obey yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Here it is, the pillar and ground of truth. No wonder Paul would say we can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. I said all that to say this, friends, that when we began talking about the Pharisees, they violated all of them. Hold on, how could they violate the church? The church was not in existence. Jesus came to establish the church. And friends, when men and women have the same attitude as the Pharisees had. They do the same. Well, this is serious business. The world in which we live in today, 1 John 5 and verse number 19, lieth in wickedness. We understand that hypocrisy is wickedness. When we see the Pharisees here in a few minutes, when one is a promoter or a practicer of hypocrisy, they are setting themselves diametrically opposed to God. No one wants to do that. Friends, I said all that to say this, that when we consider God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the Church of Christ, they're all correlates, which means that they all stand together. And since there is no lie in the truth, we as the Church of Christ, as members of the Lord's body, must speak the truth as Jesus did about hypocrisy. We must exercise wisdom when uncovering hypocrisy. Let me say this. I appreciate the way Cody dealt with his lesson. We don't have to be mean, but we do have to be truthful. And we can call individuals out as Jesus did in a way that a servant of the Lord must not strive. We can do it in a way that is pleasing unto God as Jesus did it, as he was pleasing unto his Father. We must avoid hypocrisy in our own lives as much as humanly possible. But friends, put this in your notes and don't forget this one. We must be willing to repent when hypocrisy is pointed out in us. That's where the Pharisees failed. Number one, I will not take a lot of your time. Hypocrisy is defined as one who answers. We'll get to Matthew 23 in a minute. A pretender, or one who is pretending. A phony. A charmer. A sweet talker. Dissimulator. An actor under an assumed character, a stage player. The Old Testament brings out this character in a very graphic way, godless. Godless. Profane. Irreligious. Soiled with sin. Now, you'll find it interesting that in all of the definitions I gave you, they all came from the book of Job. That's interesting. Jesus would use the word hypocrite 20 times. Now, I thought this was pretty interesting. In all of my studies, I come to find out that Jesus is the only one that actually uses this word. Yet, Peter, James, Paul uses derivatives, and they use the base of the word, the form of the word, but they never actually use the same word that Jesus used. I thought that was pretty interesting. The reason why I say that is because of this. Just maybe Jesus understood and knew the hearts of men. He could peer into a person's soul. Keep in mind that Jesus is the Word. Keep in mind that the Word of God is able to pierce even the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. No wonder this man, great man, could use this word the way that he could and did. Turn your Bibles as we take a perusal through these particular words before we get to Matthew 23. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 2, 5, and 16, here we see Jesus using this word hypocrite. And he preaches against hypocrisy all through his ministry. And the reason why he preaches against it, friends, is because he desired for all men to be just like he. No wonder the Apostle Paul would say on one occasion, follow me even as I follow Christ. Which we can infer safely that Paul lived his life in a way that he was sincere, not feigned. We stop and we consider Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 2, verse 5 and verse 16. Here we see that this particular word is going to be used in the context of benevolence, prayer, and fasting. But take notice what is connected to this word hypocrite. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, watch it now, they have their reward. Notice what Jesus connects hypocrisy to, their reward. Drop down to verse number 5, notice that one. Here, as it relates to prayer, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as, here's our word, hypocrites. Or for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen, here's their problem, of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Look at verse number 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the, here's our word, of a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces, and that they may appear. Did you get that, friends? That they may appear to be fasting. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now, I say that to say this. Here, Jesus, as he preaches against hypocrisy, he connects their reward to it, which means that if these individuals got their reward here, there is no reward waiting. There's nothing coming, which ought to teach us that if an individual is being a hypocrite even to this day, they're doing it that they may have the praises of men, which is unfortunate. We'll have more to say about that in a minute. But then notice the opposite. One thing I love about Jesus, he always gives a light at the end of the tunnel, a silver lining. Look at verse 4, verse 6, and verse 18. Here we see that thine alms, he's talking about thine alms, may be secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Now notice, when a person is not a hypocrite and they're giving alms and they're not trying to be seen, notice what's connected to it. We see that they're going to be rewarded by God openly. Notice verse number 6. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet. And when you have shut the door, pray unto your Father, which is in secret. And notice the reward here. Notice what God is going to give to the one that has an honest heart. And thy Father, which seeth thee in secret, will reward you openly. But then look at verse 18. That thou appear not unto men to fast, we already talked about those other passages, but unto your Father which is in secret, and your Father which seeth you in secret shall reward you openly. Now, here's the point we want to make already. We want to substantiate this, is that when a person is a hypocrite, they receive what they're going to receive here. When a person is honest before God and before men, God is going to reward them openly before men. You don't have to reward yourself. One thing about hypocrites, they love the praises of men. Paul would use this language, friends, and you just continue to stay with me. Paul would use this particular language in a very powerful way. In Romans 12, in verse number 9, he would use this particular language here that is a derivative of what Jesus would use here. In Romans 12, in verse number 9, he says, let love be, he put a negation in front of it, without dissimulation, without hypocrisy. But he would also use it in 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 5. And notice what the Bible there has to say. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 5, here we notice something. Now the end of the commandment is love. Out of what, Paul? Out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and of faith, here's our word, unfeigned, sincere. Here we also see that James uses uses this particular word as well. Turn your Bibles to the book of James and look at verse chapter 3 and verse 17. In James chapter 3 and verse number 17, it is appropriate that James would use this particular word and he would connect it to the wisdom of God. Why? Because wisdom that comes forth from above is first peaceable, first pure, I'm sorry, then peaceable, willing to yield. But notice what's in there. Without partiality and without, here's our word, hypocrisy. Now, time out. Since God, Jesus, Spirit, the Word, and the Church are all connected to truth, the wisdom that comes forth from above is also connected to truth, and it has no hypocrisy in it. Which means that as a parent, here it is, I ought to be trying to attain as much wisdom as I can that I may put it inside of the mind of my child that they may grow up not to be hypocrites. Now, friends, I've seen some things over my 20-something years in the church, and I've learned that just because you bring your children to church doesn't mean that they're not going to be hypocrites. But I've seen when men and women instill the Word of God into the hearts of their children the way that God has said it, I've seen those children grow up with a profound respect for God. Okay? Now, I just wanted to say that. But in order for that to be transferred into the mind of the child, the parents themselves must be transparent with God and His Word. What are we teaching already? Transparency. Look at 1 Peter 1 and look at verse number 22. We see this word used, and notice how this particular word, which is a derivative of what Jesus used, Paul would use it in Romans 12. Here we see that James used it in James chapter 3, and now Peter uses it, but he connects something else to it now. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. How? Through the Spirit. Unto what, Peter? Unto sincere, unfeigned, undisguised love of the brethren. Now, hold on. Is it possible for an individual to tell their brother, I love them, but really not love them? If that is the case, that means that that individual is not in love with God. So we see that hypocrisy and God and the truth and the Word and the Spirit and the Church are not correlates. Hypocrisy has nothing to do with them. And this is why Jesus, when he came and he was going to, and when we see him deal with the Pharisees and the scribes, he has to root them out. Wow. Brother, I appreciate this subject. Because I had to see if there was any hypocrisy on me. And no wonder the Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Test yourselves. The Word of God teaches a man that he is going to have sincere love for God, sincere love for the Word, sincere love for his brethren. So we say all of that to say that we have established four things already. Number one, we have established that hypocrisy has earthly rewards, not heavenly. This attitude is mainly concerned with their status with men rather than their standing with God. Number two, we have established that sincerity is undisguised and directly associated with love and the commandments of God. Number three, we have established that the wisdom of God is sincere and without error, thus connecting us with the brethren who love God as well. And number four, we have established that hypocrisy is diametrically opposed to God and all associated with
with him.
And I said all of that to say this. There's no way that a child of God can be a hypocrite, an unrepentant hypocrite, and have fellowship with God. Now let's demonstrate this. Jesus gives multiple lessons on hypocrisy. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5, Jesus refers to the wrong relation between denouncing the failings of oneself, or their neighbor rather, and excusing their own. Now that's a problem. Look at Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse number 3 through 5. And why beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in your own eye? And sometimes this takes place. Or how will you say to your brother, let me pull out the mote out of your eye, and behold, there's a beam in my own eye? You hypocrite. And Jesus uses this word, friends. First cast out the beam that's out of your own eye, and then you shall see clearly to cast out the mote out of the eye of your brother. Now, a few things I want to express here in my notes. How do we fix that? Number one, what fixes that is 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8. You go back and you read that. That's the love chapter. Number two, we already expressed in 2 Corinthians 13, 5, examine yourself. When we see this type of attitude, it's usually in the marriage. It's usually with those who you're close to. We see this among siblings. We see this among brethren. We see this even among co-workers, those who may not even be members of the church. Here, Jesus uses this in his Sermon on the Mountainside, and he deals with judging in a way that is not correct. But then we see another lesson. Jesus takes it to a whole new level. Go to Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, we see in verses 54 through 56. And I guarantee you, when we get to Matthew 23, all of this will begin to make sense. But we have to lay this groundwork because it's important to understand what is Jesus teaching. So once we get to these Pharisees and scribes, we'll know exactly what he's talking about. Verses 54 through verse 56, we notice Jesus rebuking the multitude. And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, notice what he's saying. Straightway you say, there cometh a shower. And so it is. He acknowledges that. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat. And it come to pass. He acknowledges that. Here it is, you hypocrites. Jesus calls the multitudes hypocrites. Jesus, how dare you call people that? You know, if I was to stand in this pulpit and call every last one of y'all hypocrites and I had the evidence, somebody would get mad at me, even though I had evidence that all of y'all were hypocrites. But that's what Jesus did right here. He called them hypocrites because they were able to be meteorologists, if you will. They're able to view the sky and know when it's raining or when a cloud is going to come in, a storm is going to come in. But he says, I'm here to establish the kingdom, and you can't tell the difference. Well, that's the point that he's making. He calls them hypocrites because you're able to look at the things from a physical perspective, and I'm here representing God to declare who God is, and you can't tell the difference. He says, you hypocrite. I thought about that, and I had to say to myself, really, Jesus? You're going to call him out like that? Now, you know, when you're studying, you got to talk to the text. Bible students understand that. I'd be like, really? You're just going to call them that? Then I thought about it. Like, it makes sense. They wasn't focused upon him. I'm here to establish the kingdom. I'm here to save you from your sins. I'm here to declare what truth is. And then they just didn't see it. But I understand why. They were listening to those scribes and Pharisees. Brethren, you better watch who you listen to. You better watch the person who puts drink in your cup. Whether it's a blog, whether it's someone you may like, someone likes him, you better watch who's feeding you. says in verse number 56. You can discern. The word discern there literally means to investigate, to examine, to test, to scrutinize, to see whether a thing is genuine or not. They didn't have the ability to do it because they have been listening to the wrong people for so long. And friends, that can happen even to us. There, I want us to take notice. Take notice of Matthew 22 as we get closer to these Pharisees and scribes and the seven woes. You see how we're just working to them? We're just working to them. We're working to these Pharisees and scribes. The Bible teaches us in Psalm 119, 160, the sum of thy word is true. I want us to take notice of Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. Put these in your notes. Mark 12, verses 13 through 17, and Luke 20, verses 19 through 26, and it is important that we go through these. Here we're going to get all of Jesus' teaching as it relates to the tax toward Caesar, okay? It's important. And the reason why it's important is because Jesus is going to use language that's going to help us to identify hypocrites, even in ourselves. Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. Then went, verse 15, the Pharisees. And notice what the Bible says. And they took counsel how they may entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, a teacher of the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of man. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, I stop there. Go to Mark chapter 12. There's a reason why I stopped there. Go to Mark chapter 12. Let's look at verse number 13. And friends, I've come to learn over my short period of time of life that to look at these episodes that Jesus is giving us in the scripture, he's actually teaching us how to think and identify people. Unfortunately, we can't see a hypocrite coming to save our lives at times. Mama used to tell me all the time, boy, I'm trying to teach you so you can see stupid coming. Boy, I'm glad she taught me to see stupid. Because when I see it coming, when we see stupid coming, we just sit there. Come on, I'll take you on. That's stupid. Get out the way, y'all. I'm just trying to teach this lesson, brother. Now think about this. Mark chapter 12, look at verse 13. Now remember what Matthew brought up. And they send unto him certain of the Pharisees, a little different than Matthew's account, and of the Herodians to catch him, see, to catch him in his words. And when they were come, they said unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for you regardest not the person of man, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, now, look at Luke chapter 20. Friends, this is how you study. Brother Cody did a wonderful job in the last hour. And friends, when we understand how to study, we'll be able to get all of the story and draw a conclusion that God has given us. In Luke chapter 20, starting at verse number 19, notice what your Bible says. A little bit different, more information given to us. And the chief priest and scribes, hold on. Now we got the chief priest involved? I thought we just had the Pharisees and scribes. You know what that's also teaching us, friends? That when hypocrites get together, you better watch out. They'll begin to bring on other people, try to get you out the way. Here it is. And the scribes, the same hour, sought to lay hands on him. Now we get a little bit more of the story. You know what a hypocrite is willing to do? Not only entangle you in your words, but now they're seeking to lay hands on him.
this parable against them. And they watched him and sent for spies, which should feign themselves. Notice this language here. They're going to feign themselves. They're going to play act. They're going to act as if that they're just men, but they're unjust men. Y'all know some people like that? Can you identify them? Friends, I will promise you, if you're not in this book, you won't be able to identify. If we're not in the Bible, the Word of God, and studying for ourselves, yes, we need to listen to the preacher. Yes, we need to listen to the elders. But we need to listen to King Jesus and the apostles and prophets. Here, these were unfeigned men, and they were acting as if they were just. And Jesus knew this. Notice, why then, where am I? Here it is. That they might take hold of his word, so that they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly. Look, a little bit more we're getting here. Neither accepted thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But he perceived their craftiness. You go back and you look at that word craftiness. It has a lot of depth to it. He perceived their wickedness. He saw their conscience. He saw what they were thinking. And friends, we're fruit inspectors. We can find out what someone is thinking when they begin acting and talking. But notice what he says. Now, why tempt ye me? Matthew's account, notice, go back to Matthew real quick. Look at Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 22, we notice something about Jesus here. In verse number 18, he says, why tempt ye me? Notice what he calls them. You hypocrites. Now, some lessons I was told as a kid, you're not going to get to later. Why did Jesus call them hypocrites? He knew that they were sent from someone else. He knew why they came to get him. I have a little note in my notes here. Here it is. Y'all write this down. When someone show you who they are, believe them. After a while, you don't have to give the benefit of the doubt. You can tell when someone is out to get you. You can tell when a false teacher is a false teacher. You can tell when men are trying to change the definitions of words like miracle. You can tell when men are trying to change the interpretation of Colossians 3, verse 16 and 17. You can tell when men are trying to talk about this regenerated earth, and I'll let someone else deal with that. You can tell when they start talking like that, ain't no need of trying to say, well, they got a good heart. No, they don't. No, they don't. Because when a man, and I'll quote a man here right here. I'm going to quote somebody right here. When a man will put false doctrine in writing, he ain't playing. There's something different when someone says something trying to get himself out of a deal, out of a conversation, but when he puts it in writing, that means that he has taken thought. And the very fact that he has taken thought and he's standing by it, then and he holds to it, and someone who knows the truth and is going to approach him in love, and he won't change his view and change his thoughts on what the Word of God is teaching. Friends, that person is a hypocrite.
You should not believe anything he has to say until he or she repents. This is interesting. What do we learn from this? We learn that we better call things what they are and stop playing with people. Isaiah said, woe unto him who called evil good and good evil. Go to Matthew 24. I said all that to get here. Brother Cody, your introduction was about 5 to 7 minutes. Mine's like about 25 minutes. Now let's get to preaching. 7 pronouncements. And anytime you see the word woe, you better watch out. Especially when Jesus talks about woe. Notice the woes in verse 13, 14, 15, 23,
25, 27, and 29. Many don't talk about this part of Jesus as if this part of Jesus don't exist. Well, Jesus wouldn't say it like that. He wouldn't. Apparently, they didn't read this chapter. This sounds like a man that was willing to look a man in his face and call him a hypocrite. Here you got the multitude and the disciples, and there Jesus is talking with them, and the Pharisees are somewhere around there, the scribes are somewhere around them, because he's looking them in his eye and he's saying, woe unto you. But it don't take all of that, Brother Kevin. Brother Ross, it doesn't take all that. We shouldn't talk to people that way. Well, speaking the truth in love sometimes means that I got to look a man in his eye and say, you're a liar. I would rather a man hate me here than for God to say, depart from me, I never knew you, you work other than me. Those are strong words. But notice these woes. But woe unto you, verse 13, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. He says, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in. Notice, he said, you don't go in yourself. That's likened unto a person who's a hypocrite in the Lord's church. They're not living according to the standards and the word of God. And yet they live in front of people in a way that people know that they're members of the church, and they're keeping them out because they're looking at their hypocrisy. He says to them, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither allow ye them who are entering in to go. Jesus, what are you saying? These men were hindering the conversion process of individuals who really wanted to go, who really wanted to do what was right. And if anything, as the people of God, even today, we have a responsibility to walk in the light as he is in the light, to be a people who are transparent and honest, that when we make mistakes, we just say, I'm sorry, and we repent, and we do what is right. And we demonstrate to people that, hey, I'm an individual, and I need you to follow me even as I follow Christ. You know what that's also teaching people? That it's all right to say, I'm sorry. Notice the next one. I know he got right there, but that probably don't mean a lot, but we'll be done here in a minute. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Notice how they devour widows' houses. They take advantage of those in whom they should have been helping. The book of James, chapter 1, verse 27. Oh, it's a terrible thing when these individuals are in a very vicarious position. Yet, these men who should have been helping, they were actually hurting the process. But then notice the end of this passage. He says, therefore, you shall receive the greater condemnation. Put James 3, 1 right there. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of Gehenna, that's hellfire, than yourselves. Can you imagine? Can you imagine living your life so much as a hypocrite that when you bring someone into the Lord, if you will, they're worse than the devil himself? Look at verse 23. Friends, these are not my words. These are the words of Jesus. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Let us never be guilty of this, friends. Judgment, mercy, and faith. For these, he says, you ought to have done and have not left the others undone. You know, we ought to be paying attention to every aspect of the law of Christ. Woe to you, verse 25, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside. Now we can put 25, 27, and 29 together. And the reason why is because even as the people of God today, we need to be concentrating on the inner man, Ephesians 3 and verse number 17. And when we concentrate on the inner man, guess what's going to take care of itself? The outer man. Here, these individuals were not concerned about the inner man. They were only concerned about what people are thinking or saying about them. Notice what he says. For you may clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first. Notice the fix. That which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. And then he talks about the white sepulchres. Then he talks about the tombs. Friends, let us make sure that we are cleaning up our hearts. Let's not be hypocritical. Let's not be a people who want to look right, but let's be a people that want to be right. There's one thing to look like a Christian. There's another thing to actually be a Christian. These Pharisees, they were religious leaders on the outward, but Jesus comes and he calls them out on their hypocrisy because, in essence, they were not leaders. Because true leaders lead people to God, not away from God. I said all of this to say this. God wants us to be a people who are open, honest, transparent, not hypocrites. We have enough of those in the world. We are a moral culture in the midst of an immoral world, bringing people to Jesus Christ. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. But the only way that you can be a child of God, hear this, you have to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have to be willing to repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the forgiveness of your sins. You know what God will do? He will cleanse your conscience from dead works, Hebrews 9:14, that you may serve the living God. Baptism is an answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 3:21. Oh, it's nothing like having a transparent conscience. That was the problem with the Pharisees. They were not transparent. They were full of evil and sin and hypocrisy. And hypocrisy is evil. Be baptized in water. Live faithful, even to the point of death. God will give you the crown of life. Maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been transparent with God. As a matter of fact, your conscience has been soiled with sin. Every now and then, we need to go to God and say, Father, I'm sorry, I've sinned against you. Every now and then, we need to go to a brother or sister in Christ. I'm sorry, you know, I haven't been transparent with you. I think the only thing wrong with sin is not repenting of it.